Let me just ask the Lord's blessing on this word. Father, I ask you to come fill me with your Spirit. Speak through me. Prepare hearts to receive the seed, and may it go deep and produce a harvest for your glory. Please lead, Jesus. Amen. So as I mentioned last Sunday, we were out of town, and you all had an opportunity to be able to quote your verses. And I'm sorry that I missed that. And I know that I had made mention of mine the week before on Testimony Sunday, but, you know, the Lord just really laid on my heart this verse, Isaiah 28:16. And I wanted to share a little bit about it in preparation for communion today. So if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to flip over to the prophet Isaiah, and it'll be chapter 28, and we're just going to focus on verse 16. So Isaiah 28:16. All right, this is what the scripture says. It says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." This is a wonderful promise spoken by our sovereign Lord. And so let's begin right there. What does that word sovereign mean? Let's remind ourselves of that. It means having supreme rank, authority, power. A sovereign is someone who is preeminent. They're indisputable. What they say is the law. It is the highest word that can be spoken. It's a person in a position of being above all others in character, in excellence, and of importance. And so this is spoken by the sovereign Lord. And this two-part promise, what is it? Well, before he unveils his plan, he first uses a word to grab their attention. He uses the word see. Have you ever, probably, to your spouse or your kids said, "See, it's right here, see." And you use that word, "Look, right here, watch this, don't miss it, it's right here. Pick this Lego up right here, Micah," or "Hudson, that clothes, right there, that shirt right there. See it? Put it away." The sovereign Lord is saying to his people Israel, "See, behold, look, don't miss this." And what is it that he doesn't want his people to miss? Well, he says he's going to lay a stone in Zion. Zion, where's that? Well, the Bible, when it uses the word Zion, it has a variety of meanings. And in the narrow sense, it means the actual city of Jerusalem, the city of David. And in its broadest sense, it means God's people, the people of Israel. So the sovereign Lord says it is here, in this place of tremendous importance, in the heart of the city, at the center of his chosen people, it is in Zion that God's promised stone will be placed by God. And what kind of a stone will this be? Well, he uses two descriptors. It will be tested, and it will be precious. It will be one that has been examined and been found to be worthy for the task for which it has been chosen. It will be one that can be trusted because it has passed all the various tests to ensure that it can do the job. And not only has it been tried, but it has been deemed to be precious. It's of great value, like a diamond wedding ring or a string of pearls. This stone that the sovereign Lord has chosen is precious and rare and of excellent reputation. It's of utmost value. This is the kind of stone that the sovereign Lord wants his people to observe that he is placing in the holy place. And not only does he describe a stone that is dependable and a treasure, but this is no ordinary piece of building rock. This stone is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is usually the first stone placed in the foundation. And it sets the direction for the entire building project. The architect will set the cornerstone first. And as it is set, it becomes the connecting point for the first two sides. And it becomes the focal point for which all the other stones in the building find their alignment. If the cornerstone is true and is set correctly, then the building can be raised with confidence according to the plan. And the builder knows the cornerstone will be able to endure the full weight of the structure. He knows that what he has placed will be a sure foundation. And the promise of the Most High God is that the heart who trusts on this cornerstone will never be stricken with panic. Panic is a really scary thing. Panic occurs when we have this sudden overwhelming fear that's with or without reason. And that fear then produces some sort of hysteria or an irrational behavior on our part. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that I've never told before. And actually, my wife only knows it. And she's probably thinking, you're not going to tell that one, are you? Because it's kind of embarrassing. Actually, probably not that one, probably the other one. But if you're giving bonus points for being vulnerable this morning, then I'd like a couple of extra ones. So several years ago, my dad bought my kids a laser pointer, which is kind of cool because you can do fun things with it. But it's really pretty dangerous because if you point it in somebody's eye, I mean, it can damage somebody's eye or your own eye. And to give it to the boys, you know, it's probably just not the wisest move. So the responsible one in the family took it away from the kids and gave it to the other responsible one. So I was in possession of it. And while it is a fascinating little gizmo, I decided one night to take it out on the back deck, and I was sitting out under the stars and pointing it at the tree and the neighbor's tree and the neighbor's house that's way over. You know, I'm thinking, how far does this thing shoot? You know, how far does it go? And, you know, it says on the package, or I've heard it'll go miles. So I'm looking up. It's not going to hit the moon. Well, what can I test this on? And here comes a plane. How did you know this? And it wasn't a plane that was coming in for a landing at, you know, at Fort Wayne International. It was way up there. And I didn't know, but I thought. And you could see it. You could see my red dot on the side of the plane. It was amazing. I thought, wow, this thing is really all, you know, it's just the size of a pen is all it is. And then there was another plane coming from the other direction, a higher altitude, and I thought, well, I'm going to try that one. And sure enough, I could see it. I could see my dot on the plane. It was pretty neat. After a little bit, I was 2 or 3 minutes of doing that, 4 maybe. I got bored then, went inside. A couple weeks later, I saw an article on the internet, newspaper. Man out in California was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to a year of prison or multiple years of prison for pointing laser pointers at airplanes. And in that moment, I panicked. I didn't know that, you know, I guess it makes sense now, like, yeah, it can cause, you know, distraction for the pilot, and it's dangerous, or maybe somebody thinks you're shooting a missile at it or something, but I didn't know, and I panicked. I don't know what I looked like on the outside, but on the inside, I was a wreck instantly. And it wasn't too long, Megan came into the room, and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing, I'm fine. Well, she knows. And she pried a little bit, and thank God she talked me off the ledge. I mean, we talked about how, you know, okay, Lance, yeah, you did that, but, like, nobody's coming. The FBI is not going to show up at the front door. You know, in my mind, I had already gone through the whole, they're coming to the front door, they're taking me away, goodbye, Megan, goodbye, kids. I mean, I'm going to prison for this thing. I didn't know, and I was scared to death. It was a moment of panic, and we talked through the logical, you know, let's just calm down here for a minute. Nobody's coming. It was really odd for me, because usually I'm pretty steady when it comes to that. But thank goodness she rescued me in that moment. I'm guessing that you may have your own story of irrational panic when you thought somebody was watching, or you left the curling iron on, or the oven, or you left your door unlocked, or maybe you panic when you have the thought of having to possibly speak in public. The list of things that can cause panic is long, but all panic is rooted in a fear. And sometimes it's rational, and sometimes it's completely irrational. But the promise of the sovereign Lord is that the one who relies on the precious cornerstone will never be stricken with panic. And this is possible because that person is putting his trust in the one place in the entire universe that can never falter or fail. The cornerstone placed by God is a sure foundation for all time and eternity, and whoever builds their life on this stone is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, if you're familiar with the writings of the Old Testament, then you know that in many places our God is described as a rock, as a firm foundation, as an unshakable, immovable stone. And the writers of the New Testament picked up on this, and they quoted some of those promises, and they revealed that it is Jesus Christ who is the solid rock. Jesus Christ is the living stone. Jesus Christ is the firm foundation. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the believers in Ephesus, he said this, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers." And by the way, foreigners and strangers have a lot to be panicked about. But he says, you're no longer that. But you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In the Gospels, we find that Jesus pointed to himself as the stone that the builders rejected. But actually, he was the cornerstone, the first stone, the foundation stone. Peter testified to this before the Sanhedrin, as is recorded in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And again, Peter, in his writing to the believers who were scattered because of persecution throughout Asia Minor, Peter reminded them that Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the tried and true stone God has placed in Zion, a tested stone, found to be sinless and perfect, a precious cornerstone that is our sure foundation. And anyone, anywhere, anytime who relies on Jesus Christ will never, never, never be stricken with panic. Now you might be asking, but Lance, you just said you were stricken with panic with the laser pointer. And that is true. And I was a believer in Jesus at that time. And the answer is, at that moment, my hope was not in Christ. My hope was in not being caught. Not being found out for my innocent error. Had I lost my salvation in that moment? No. But my focus was on the wind and the waves rather than the wonderful promise of our Savior. And just like Peter, in that moment, I began to sink. And thankfully, my wife was there to toss me the life preserver. From time to time, we all face moments of panic, especially if you have kids. But we serve a sovereign, all-powerful, loving Lord who is bigger than all of our fears and bigger than all of our failures. And this sovereign Lord, he is marvelous in our eyes. And so the next time that you're faced with a moment of panic, I have three buttons I'd like you to press rather than pressing the panic button. And the first button I'd like you to press is the pray button. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I wish that this had been my first response that day. After reading that article, I wish I would have stopped and just prayed. But I didn't. And had my mind been focused on the Lord, maybe my reaction would have been different. But I would encourage you to pray. Stop. Stop and pray. The second button I'd like you to consider is the ponder button. Don't hit the panic button. Hit the ponder button. Ponder, meditate, think, consider, see the promises of our sovereign Lord. Your Bible is full of them. And every one of them is true. And hopefully, some of you are taking this challenge seriously to memorize those and commit them to memory so that in the moment when you don't have your Bible or your phone or whatever it is, in that moment of, instead of panicking, you can think about the Word of God. Because it's not just like any, it's just not like, it's, they're not just quotes. It is the living, active Word of God that is alive in your spirit and it will change your life. It's not just old sayings. It's the Word of God. And it is worth memorizing. One verse. One verse. Isaiah says, "God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." That might be a good one to memorize for this month. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you have it memorized. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight." Hit the pray button. Hit the ponder button. Now, before I reveal this last button, I was teaching Sunday school for the junior high kids this morning, and Megan was a little busy doing some other stuff, so I did an impromptu step in her place. And so I preached them this sermon. So this is the second time Isaiah's heard this morning. But But I asked him this question. I said, so what do you think the third P is? And Jerry and Marilyn's granddaughter, she said, is it the praise button? I said, no, but that would have been really good. Why didn't I use that? The praise button. So that's the fourth button, which is for another sermon another day. But that one works well as well. But the third button I would really like you to consider is to hit the pastor button. Hit the pastor button. James says this. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's part of my role as the shepherd of this particular congregation, of this church, is to help you walk through those moments of crisis. And some of you already have me on speed dial and have used this button before. Several months back, my phone rang, caller ID came up, and it was Deb Shoemate. And usually when I talk with Deb on the phone, it's usually lighthearted, there's laughing, and it's an enjoyable conversation. And so I picked the phone up expecting that this will be good, whatever this is. And I knew in the first moment it was not a joke. It was serious as a heart attack because she was telling me about Bruce's medical emergency in Utah. I was so honored that she called me and trusted me with that pain, and I dropped everything and rushed right over there. It wasn't like I could really do anything, and so on my way I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And, you know, I was tempted myself to hit the panic button, but I'm the pastor. I'm not supposed to do that. So what did I do when I got there? Well, we hit the pray button and we hit the ponder button. We prayed and we opened God's word and we let him speak to the moment. And did that fix everything? No. But it put our focus on where it needed to be in the moment when we needed him. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he is the one who promised to be with us in the midst of every high and stormy gale. Put your trust in the one who can save and restore and heal, and you will find peace that transcends understanding. And sometimes it's nice to have somebody else there with you who can walk out this faith. To walk alongside you in those moments of embarrassment or weakness or sin or shame. And hopefully you can trust me as your pastor with those moments. As well as the other leaders of Alliance Community Church to walk with you in those moments. We can't read your minds. And so if you need us, if you need me, please press that button. I can already assure you and promise you I don't have all the answers. And often I may appear to be weak. But I know the one who is strong. The one who I can point you to in that moment who has the answers of eternity. You can trust the cornerstone with your health and with your finances and with your family and with your future and your past and your present. You can trust him with your employment and this church and the lost and those relationships that are so hard every day. You can trust the cornerstone with the forgiveness of sin. And you can trust him with the most important questions of this life and the life to come. For they are all yes and amen in Jesus Christ our Lord. For there is no other foundation other than Jesus. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And So you can stand through any storm because you rely on him. To God, and God alone be the glory. As we prepare for communion today, I'm just going to leave this scripture on the screen. Rest in Christ. We're just going to take a few minutes. Megan and Bob, I think, will come and play. And then we'll sing a song, and then we'll have the elders come up, and we'll serve communion. But use these moments as we reflect on the goodness and the grace and the mercy of our Savior. This table that we celebrate together is it's a reminder, a memorial of his death, but it's also a picture of his grace to us, that his blood washes us clean of all our sin. Sin causes a lot of panic. And yet it's the body and blood of Christ that produces a calm in our lives. So I don't know where you're at this morning as far as your emotional state. Rest on the cornerstone this morning. And then in a little while, we'll celebrate this table together.